Greetings of grace and peace to each one this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We gathered here in His name this morning. And it's a joy. It's a joy to be here. just want to welcome each one. And just want to thank the brothers for what was shared already this morning. It's been a blessing. Thank you, Brother Dennis, and also the singing was a joy this morning. if you want, this morning we could all rise and pray together. It would be a blessing. Heavenly Father, we bow here in your presence at this hour, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you, Father, that you've promised, Lord, to be with those who want to be with you, Father. And we just we thank you for that this morning. We do pray for your presence here, and ask for your Spirit, just to speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word, and pray for your grace and peace to be upon each heart, Lord. Father, we have need of you, Lord. We live in perilous times, Lord, and we call on you, Lord, to minister to our hearts today, to give us bread from heaven, Lord. Speak to our hearts. We just look to you. From whence cometh our help, Lord. We look to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's it's good to be here. I had thank you. Had a lot of different thoughts on my heart this week, and I'd like to share just from a scripture that the Lord's brought to me a few times over the past month, few weeks, month perhaps, but I know this morning, you know, as we hang a new calendar on the wall, it, in some ways, it's not a real big deal. It's just another day, but in other ways, it's significant. I think it just speaks to all of us, I think, of the brevity of life and the passing of time, and how that we have but a few fleeting moments, and you know, we look back at the past year and just, I know that we all have probably a lot of things we think of in just different aspects of life. Children getting older and new stages in life for our children. And we realize that none of us see the coming year. And what will happen, what will become. And so I just have probably a very simple message this morning. And we'd like to, if you can, you know, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37 to open. I was thinking, you know, what would be for my home and for my own heart, for my life, for our home, what would be a simple principle, a simple a simple precept that would make a difference. That would make a difference in my life. One thing we can do as we look back across the year, we often see our mistakes. We see things that we'd do different if we could do it again. And how do we keep from repeating them? How do we keep from doing the same thing over again? You know, I'd just like to... I'd like to, for us to, just a very simple message this morning, just considering our love for God. And I don't know necessarily that that's the title, but just in a very simple way this morning from Psalm 37, we'd like to consider that this morning. And I don't share this as a challenge to anyone or against anyone, or but just a message just to my own heart and for myself, for you all, going into a new year. You know, the most significant and important thing about every soul is their love for God. It's the most important thing about me. It really is. It's the most important thing about me. And it's also Satan's chief target in my life. It really is. To take away my love for God, my commitment, and am I being victorious in maintaining closeness with God? That's the question this morning. Am I being victorious in maintaining closeness with God? I think that's the thing that would probably have the biggest impact in the next year for our homes, for the church, for each one of us as individuals. And I know the message this morning is probably just a personal and individual message for each one of us personally. I'm going to read 11 verses here in Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And we're going to focus on verse 4 specifically. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The first part of the verse, delight thyself in the Lord. We have some illustrations then perhaps on the last part. You know, I've at different times I've heard this verse quoted, you know, something good happened in a person's life and this verse gets quoted. You know, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And the Lord does desire to give us good things, but I don't think this is specifically talking about a another farm or perhaps something that you've wanted, although the Lord does give us those things in His own way and but delight thyself in the Lord. And before we begin here, I'd like to just give a few thoughts. David wrote this. A few thoughts about David. In verse 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." You know, David had a lot of opposition in his life. And he had every opportunity to get bitter and angry. There's a lot of people that hated David. And people trying to kill him. Saul trying to kill him. And his own men turning against him at times. And there's circumstantial trouble that we all face in life. And that's reality. We all face that. But that wasn't David's worst trouble. David's worst trouble came when he personally strayed from God. That's what created the biggest trouble in David's life. It wasn't his opposition. It wasn't his... when sin separated him from God, the repercussions of that were far greater. And David says here, delight thyself in the Lord and fret not thyself because of evildoers. The word delight here, it's a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind, joy, that gives great pleasure, which affords delight. Another one here. Delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy and not dependent on sudden excitement. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It's not the excitement that a child gets with a new toy, but the enduring pleasure that a parent has towards his or her child to delight. For us to think about that. What does it mean to delight thyself in the Lord? To make Him your chief satisfaction or pleasure. My joy comes from Him. It's to love Him with all your soul, mind, and strength. You know, we all delight in something. We all get our pleasure, what do you want to call it? I don't like the word thrill necessarily, but we all have it. We all delight in something. And they're not all bad things. Many times they're good things. I like to use for an illustration. I know some of you are probably going to Bible school. And a big part of Bible school is the chorus. Chorus practice, singing together, and then doing the singing together last evening. And it's a joy. It's a big part of Bible school. I know most of the young people look forward to it. Another big part of Bible school is the fellowship. Fellowshipping with people from various places, friends that maybe you haven't seen for a year. And that's a big part of Bible school. And it's very edifying. It's a good thing. But the question is, will I delight myself in the Lord at Bible school? And because ultimately that's where lasting change will come from, is if I delight myself in the Lord. And will I engage my heart to draw nigh to God so that He can draw nigh to me, to be changed and to grow in the Lord? That's just an example that I wanted to bring here of delighting ourselves in the Lord. And I have a few questions. What difficulties or obstacles could I avoid in this new year by making the Lord my chief delight? No one will know, right? If we avoid them, we'll never know. Except for what the Word tells us. You know, the Word tells us of the things that we'll avoid. The conflicts in relationships that can be avoided. The snares of the world, of the devil, of riches, all those snares that can be avoided. if we make the Lord our chief delight. What a person delights in determines his course of life. It just does. It just does. You know, it's that way. And I was thinking about Brother Wayne here the other evening and what he shared about his experience of sickness and facing death. And I had trouble hearing everything he said, but I was it was a blessing what I heard. You know, facing death without a real and current relationship with God through Christ is not something any of us want. And yet, to have that the experience that he had, and knowing that the Lord hasn't been my chief delight, that would be grievous. None of us want that. I was just pondering that. E.M. Bounds said that no one will be in heaven whose heart didn't go there first. I want us to think about that. No one will be in heaven whose heart didn't go there first. And I don't want to... I want this to be practical today, and we'll get there. But just to begin with here, delight thyself in the Lord. How can we do that? We're going to hopefully have some interaction here in a little bit, so you can prepare for that. You know, Brother Martin shared this morning about children, and you know, I know here we delight in watching our children grow. I know that you do. I know as parents you do. You observe the little changes in life. When they begin to talk, and when they get older, and they get more understanding, and you delight in the things that you see happen in their lives. I think it's part of what it means. It gives you pleasure. It gives you satisfaction. Webster says that particularly with children that are growing in piety, it brings great satisfaction to the parents and pleasure. And I want to bring that delighting in God. Some parents don't delight in their children. They go through life. Mom and dad are busy, and they miss the their children growing up. They miss it. They are, because they're otherwise occupied, and they're not delighting in their children. And as the story that Martin shared, their children know it. And I'd like for you to think about, just turn that to God this morning, and you think, does God notice how I do or don't delight in Him? God, who just knows all things. Parents, children are pretty sensitive. They pick things up. But God, who sees the heart and knows all things, knows my passions, knows what I want, what I really want in the inner man, what I'm really wanting. God, who knows all things. Delight thyself in the Lord. And I was thinking here this morning about just considering His attributes. And if you turn back to Psalm 36, we'll read a few verses. Here, David, again, delighting in the Lord, beginning in verse 5. David said, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." As pondering that, David, just contemplating God. "Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast." In other words, acknowledging that God is the one who preserves me. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Just that example of David delighting in the Lord and exalting him. And I think it would be good this morning. I just felt led here, and I hopefully this will work out okay. But thought it would be good this morning to just take some time. The beginning of a new year, what are some things you'd like to exalt the Lord for this morning? What's something in your life, something that God has done in the past or something that God is doing for you presently, something you'd like to just praise God for this morning? We'll give you all a few moments to think, but I was thinking about the goodness of God. And we could speak for hours on the goodness of God in giving us an opportunity to repent, leading us to repentance. We think of the goodness of God in our daily provisions and providing for us our daily bread. The goodness of God in families and in church. And I know this morning I'm not speaking to a group of people that are generally unthankful, but I just thought it'd be good this morning just to open it up, and maybe you can raise your hand or just speak. Is there something you'd like to just delight in the Lord this morning? Dennis. Dennis, yeah, go ahead. We can use a...
I'm very thankful and delighted in all the teaching we heard in the last couple of years. We heard very good, sound teaching.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. And without that, where would we be? I wonder sometimes, but I'm very thankful. Something can be repeated over and over many times before we understand it. But I'm very thankful for that, and thank God for the opportunity to raise our children in a godly setting. Very thankful, and God has been showing me a lot of things last year and a half.
Amen.
And I am very blessed, and I want to continue and be willing to, like I shared this morning, be willing to be obedient when He calls. So I'm very delightful in that.
Amen. Thank you. It's actually one that I had on the list here, that God in His goodness has made known to us His will. And through the Word of God, through teaching. And it's one of those things that we need in life, is purpose. A man doesn't do well if he doesn't have a purpose. In the garden, God gave Adam responsibility, something that Adam was in charge of, something for him to do. And here, in this life, as Christians, God makes known to us His will. And I wonder this morning, is that precious to me? Is the will of God precious to me? Do I delight in it? Is that something I delight in? That I know the will of God? And I know that in some areas, maybe some of us struggle with that, especially when we're young. What is the will of God for my life? But in many ways, we know the will of God for our lives. In basic, simple truth, God has given it to us in His goodness. Is there anyone else? Brother Ray.
Appreciate the thought, and I just want to enlarge on that maybe a bit. For many years, my fear of God was primarily based on the consequences of failure and of not being obedient. And it gave me a little power to overcome, living out of fear rather than a purpose, like you just said. And that was such a blessing when I finally realized and grew in that area, understanding better, not fully, the purpose that God has for me. He designed us in His image, in His likeness, to reflect His image. And as we have that relationship with Him and to observe His majesty and His power and His creation, if you please, and just an all-around picture, it's just like, wow. And it gives me a whole new sense of purpose and a power to overcome, because it's for Him.
Amen.
It's for Him. And if it's for Him and fulfilled, then it'll be fine with me. And I thank Him for that. Obedience is important. But if I only operate out of fear of consequence, I found I had little power. So I thank Him for that. I just bless Him for that.
Yeah, you mentioned creation. One of the marvels of God. Is there someone else? I was thinking about His mercy. The Bible says that He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Delighting in the Lord. That's our thought here. There's something you'd like to delight in the Lord this morning. Something that God has done for you. Brother Benji.
Yes, we think about when Jesus walked this earth and was teaching and discipling all those around Him. And we can't imagine living in that day and how a delight that would be. But He had to go so that the Comforter could come. And I just think of that this morning. What a blessing it is to delight in the Holy Spirit, that He can guide and direct us and give us discernment so that we can walk in truth, that our ears can hear and our eyes can see. Just a blessing it is to be able to be united with God through the Spirit.
Amen. Brother Nate.
Yeah, I was, I don't want to spend a lot of time, because I know there's a lot of things that we can delight in. And I was just thinking what Brother Ray shared there, which prompted me to share here. But I think the one thing is, if obedience does strictly come from the love of God, which I believe it should, but I also believe that, I also believe the Bible is clear. In 1 John, it says, "By this we know we have the Spirit, because we obey Him." I think there's a sense out there, I'm not sure exactly how Brother Ray alluded to this, but I would say that there would be no chance of a full surrendered obedience without the Spirit of God. Therefore, if we do not, I believe that if we don't obey God, I believe we should have fear in our hearts, if we have a heart like that. But again, I just want to clear that up. I think sometimes we think the Bible talks about partial obedience, and it does not. It talks about a complete surrendered will. And that only comes from the power and the Spirit of God. I know we see partial obedience all around us, not in this church I'm talking about, but I'm talking about around us. And we get confused because we think that, well, we know that they don't have the Spirit of God. But we should delight in the fact and enjoy and have joy in our hearts that the power of God has rested upon us. And that we have, and I'm very thankful too. The first thing that was shared here today, I'm going to move on to something else here real quick. There was something shared, I guess, I don't know who shared that, but I think maybe you did, Brother John, about how thankful are we to know the will of God. That should be the primary joy of our hearts, is to know His will. And therefore, be doers of his word. I was thinking of I believe sometimes there's an emotional, sometimes things get emotional, but there's nothing to, there's no substance that backs it up. So we want to, especially in the name of claiming verses, we say, well, we have joy in the Lord, you know, but therefore it should be backed up. And when we have a heart to back these things up, and we see it, and we know how things have been in our past and how it is today, that should be a great joy for us. So, yeah, I just pray that God can continue to work in my life, too. Just like I shared this morning, my heart is, you know, the world is beckoning to come to us. You know, we have it. We're the ones that have the joy. We have the joy of the world, is what they're saying, but they have not the joy of the Lord. And the devil will use any way he can to steal our hearts, whether it's through even possessions and money. I really believe that is the one area. And I've read many books about over the years about people who lost their way because of riches. And I think it's a high calling for us to watch where our children's hearts are. When you see them, they're so joyful, even with as soon as they get a $10 bill in their hand and they're leaping for joy. I think those are signs that we need to be aware of, and because everything is the Lord's. So I just say appreciate everything that was shared so far.
Yeah, thank you. That's probably we'll talk about that some later, about the aspect of love that's commitment based, and we'll cover some of that. We'll just keep going here. I was thinking about truth, delighting in His truth. You know, Psalm 100 says that His truth endureth unto all generations. And I was thinking of the reality of that. Recently, we've been reading in Proverbs, and the reality of the wisdom of God that we find in His truth. It speaks into just the everyday situations of life. His truth endures into all generations. I thought about His holiness. Do you delight in that God is holy? Is that a delight to me? Do I delight in holiness? Holiness as revealed in the Word of God. Is that a delight to me? Are you thankful that heaven will be holy? That heaven will be holy. All the things that we deal with, the sin and the corruption, the hatred, the selfishness, none of it will be there. Delighting in His judgments. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Perfect. thinking of His forgiveness. The Lord's forgiveness of being willing to forgive us and expecting us to do the same. Delighting in His faithfulness. God is faithful. I was thinking of, you know, I know we often hear this, God is faithful. But God is primarily faithful to His Word. He's not faithful just to my ideas of what should be happening. God is faithful to His Word and what He has taught, what His precepts. He's also faithful to His people. God is faithful to His people. He does not leave or forsake those who are His. And I know there'd be more. I thought of Benji, Brother Benji alluded to this, His presence. Do I delight in the reality that God is present? God is here. When He sent the Holy Spirit upon the earth, the Holy Spirit is here for whosoever will open his heart. Is that a joy to me? For God to be here, for the Holy Spirit to be here is a miracle of grace. That's a miracle of grace. You know, people will go to great lengths to get in the presence of a rich man or a celebrity or a world ruler or something like that. People will go to great lengths just to see them, just to get an idea, just to be there, but have no time to get alone with God, who desires that for us. You know, we sing the song, I Come to the Garden Alone, while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know, I've sung that song at times with just a great conviction in my heart, knowing that it's really not that way. I don't want this to sound super spiritual this morning. I realize that our flesh doesn't necessarily want to get up early in the morning and seek God, and it doesn't necessarily feel good to get out of bed. But am I overcoming of delighting in the Lord? That's our subject this morning. I'm thinking about what would make a difference in life this coming year. If I delight in the Lord, do I delight in the Lord? Okay, I'd like to read in John 15. And I know that this is very familiar, and perhaps some of us have memorized it, but the question here is it a reality? Is it a daily reality? John 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. And I know that if I were to go up and down the pews and ask each soul in here, you'd say, yes, I want to bear fruit for the Lord. I believe that's the heart of everyone here. But he says here, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth of the branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And I'm not going to take time to expound on all these verses, but just in light of what we're talking about this morning, I pray that they'll just speak to you, speak to all of us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Brother Dennis was talking about that this morning. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I think Brother John was as well up here. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friends of Jesus. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Think of the power of that verse about the will of God being made known to us. And we sing the song often in the nursing homes, People will ask for that song. It's a familiar song. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I know what they're thinking. I know what they're thinking, and the song is true. All of our sins and griefs to bear, and many of the other lines in there. But Jesus said, I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Has not held anything back that would hinder us from bearing fruit or from being at peace with God. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. And you know, in Psalm 37, where we're reading, he says, he will give you the desires of your heart. It says here, you may ask of the Father in my name that he may give it to you as you delight in him. Delighting in the Lord. We're going to look at two examples this morning, if we have time, of... I realized this morning that sometimes we look at Old Testament examples and they seem a little bit intimidating or overwhelming, perhaps. We don't... Sometimes we find it hard to connect with. We find it a little bit challenging to connect with someone like Moses or someone who the Bible lifts up as a godly man. But yet this morning, I'd like for us to... We're going to take an example from the life of Moses and from Exodus 33. Moses had a specific and unique calling on his life. And maybe we find it a little hard to connect with. But God has put I'd like to remind us, I guess, sorry, I kind of got disconnected there. I'd like to remind us of what we just read in John 15. That Jesus said, I've called you friends. I've made known all my will to you. And that's to the church, to his people. And I'd like for us to try to connect here with what we're reading about Moses. In Exodus 33, verse 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And then verse 12. I'd like for you to think about that. For us to think about that. The Lord spake unto Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. Jesus said, I have called you friends. Those that delight in him. Again, I just want to keep bringing that. In verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet hast thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Moses said, if you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go. I'd like for us to think about our friend this morning. Lord, I won't go there if you won't go with me. Lord, if you'll go with me, I'll go. But unless you go, I won't go. because I want you with me. I'd like for us to think about that. And verse 17, I'm not sure where I stopped here. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses does an amazing thing here. He says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And we know the rest of the story there. The Lord said, I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. But I'd like for us to just to consider here Moses' hunger for God. His desire and his passion for God, his love for God, asking God, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see it, Lord. And then I'd like for us to think about this phrase in Psalm 37 about he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, when our desires are pure, God is more than willing to give them to us. Moses got what he wanted. I think of Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. But just as an example here to us, look at the interaction. It says, as a man speaketh unto his friend. As a man speaketh unto his friend, delighting in the Lord. We're going to look at another example. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this in verse 10, that I may know him, and I know this is a familiar verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And I just like to bring out here his hunger, Paul's hunger for Christ, his desire to fellowship with Christ. Not only to fellowship with him, but wanting to suffer with him. Desiring that I would suffer with him if that would help me to know him. And you know, Paul got the desire of his heart. We can read that in Corinthians. Beaten with rods, whipped, 5 times, shipwrecked. If God gives me the chief desire of my heart, if he gives it to me, what will it look like? What will it look like? Fellowship with Christ? Closer fellowship with Christ? Will it look like someone who desired holiness? Will it look like someone who desired a close walk with God? What will it look like? The good news today is that God can reveal my heart and purify it. That's the good news today. So that all my longings and desires are pure. If If God gives me the desires of my heart, would I be exalted somehow? Or would I become a servant? If God really gives me what He sees that I want in the inner man, would it look like? Would it look like someone who became a servant? Would it look like do I delight myself in the Lord? Back to Psalm 37. We'll didn't intend to keep everyone real long today. Go back to Psalm 37. And just to finish a couple of those verses. Commit thy way unto the Lord. In verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto Him. Delighting in the Lord will produce commitment. No man who delights in his wife can soon betray her. A lack of commitment demonstrates a lack of love or lack of delight, because they're intertwined. And then in now there it is. The rest of that, trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. I know that particularly, I believe young people and probably all of us, we often struggle with, you know, what does God want in my life? What does He want me to be doing? Where does He want me? And, okay, I think that was kind of the burden of the message here this morning. That if we delight ourselves in Him, we commit our way into Him, we trust in Him, He will bring it to pass. Faith is produced by knowing God through His Word. And I had this little illustration of faith. I know that there's many illustrations, and we'll just add one more. But I thought of two bridges. I thought of two bridges across the big river. And I thought of one bridge looking strong and safe, and the other bridge looking weak and rickety, and maybe some boards missing and kind of sagging. And if you could picture in your mind two bridges across a big river, and which bridge will I take? You know, faith determines which bridge looks safe to me. Faith is not something that is dormant and standing still. Faith is a way. And if that makes sense to you, if my faith is weak, then the way of the world can look kind of strong. It can kind of look safe. If my faith is strong, then it's the way of Christ that looks safe. And the other bridge looks very weak and rickety. But faith determines which bridge looks strong to me. And if that makes sense to you. And I think I'm going to close. With the promise in verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Those that delight themselves in the Lord. And realize this morning that we are here by the grace of God. We have no strength of ourselves, but we can choose. We can choose to walk with God. We can choose to delight ourselves in Him and to walk with Him. And we love you all. It's a blessing to be here today, and I just pray that the grace of God be with you all in the coming week.